All right, we ready? Okay, man. Let's get going, and if you would join me in the flag salute, I'd appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is the April 3rd, 2023 meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door, the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, good lord, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Is there anybody else we could send this to? Could I have a roll call, please?
For the record, I promised Kevin at the end of April.
Ah, he bets off.
If he's not here, out of respect for Kevin, you won't hear anything from me on a roll call tonight.
But he's not here, so you can help out a part-time.
You're sure?
Yeah, no, I.
Exceptions.
Okay.
I'll explain it to him. All right.
Are you gonna do it, or?
No.
Okay.
You'll understand.
I'm not ready to this call.
It's a.
Chairman Sinay is not here this evening, Mayor Malay.
Here.
Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Blazer?
Here.
Vice Chairman Higgins?
Here.
Ms. Clemens? Clemens, I'm sorry.
Here.
Okay, Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Ms. Johnson?
Absent.
Thank you.
Catching it?
I'm getting it now. Mr. Versa?
Here.
For the record, you have a quorum, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. John, you didn't have, you know, you could have gone slower tonight, there's no competition.
But I wanted to try to understand.
I got it.
I hear you. Okay. We're gonna have a small departure from the agenda. I'd like to take the new business now, and that is with regards to approving vouchers. I've looked at them, they seem fine, didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. Any comments or concerns, changes?
No.
Yeah.
Could I?
Come to think of it, I don't know that they went out.
I thought I saw them. Am I wrong?
I didn't see them.
Come to think of it, I think we have to pass.
You want to, just a little explanation. Denise wasn't here in order to load certain things into the box account. And so I got a call from Karen Romano, because I have access to certain things, but I can't upload stuff. So I helped her get the stuff, the materials out for this meeting, and then I asked Denise to add me to the administrator rights for that, so I can handle this stuff. But I don't believe the.
All right, enough said then.
I should have done that earlier when I suggested to move up.
My memory is mistaken then.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yes, I'm.
Yeah.
I looked at Bill's face, I'm like, wait a minute. Because there were other things that I didn't see in the box, like the minutes.
All right, then let's just strike that whole thing. Phew. Thank you. Yeah. And we have no meeting minutes this evening and no resolutions, so we are down to a public hearing for Annandale Village LLC, Block 53, Lot 3, 6th West Street. Application PB 2020-302, and you're seeking amended preliminary and final site plan approval, re-granting of both variances previously granted, and an amended minor subdivision approval to address changes in the lot configuration and property dimensions.
And Mr. Acting Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself due to my involvement in this project for the last many, many years.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's about 6 minutes after seven for the record. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board professionals. Frederick Zelli standing in for Vincent Pisano, Pisano Leffler on behalf of the applicant, Annandale Village LLC. This is a redevelopment, as you're aware. It's been in front of you quite a few times over the past few years. We are here this evening for amended preliminary and final site plan approval and for amended minor subdivision approval and essentially for re-granting or granting slightly modified versions of both variances that were approved previously. Just for the record, this is to retrofit the former municipal building and firehouse located at 6 West Street, commercial use on the first floor, and two apartments on the second floor. Portion of the building will be raised. The remainder of the building is going to be renovated, restored in accordance with State Historic Office preservation approval that's already been obtained, as you know. Also, there will be a 10-unit apartment house located on the Center Street portion of the property, and then there will be a subdivision allowing for municipal parking lot, and that portion will be needed over to the municipality for that purpose. We only have one witness here this evening that I intend to call, Christopher Nusser to my right, who's our engineer. Rob Fernandez, principal of the applicant, is here this evening. If you have any questions, it would be more appropriate for him, we can place him under oath as well.
Okay, so let's get everyone sworn in who may testify, so let's also get Rob Fernandez, let's get the two board experts who are here tonight. So, everyone raise your right hand, does everyone swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Okay, and can you step near one of these mics, just identify yourself, spell your last name, give your relationship to the applicant or the board, as the case may be?
Christopher Nusser, N-U-S-S-E-R, the applicant's engineer.
Robert Fernandez, principal of Annandale Village LLC.
Larry Revere, board engineer with Ron McDonald.
Tom Zarin, board planner with 36. Mr. Larry, Paul Revere, Larry Revere.
Got it.
Okay?
All right.
Only took 3 years.
Hold on.
Thanks to Cindy. She called me during the week.
But no relation to Paul Revere.
No, but that's how we know. That's how we know your name the right way for once. But all kidding aside.
Mr. Nusser, you are not only still under oath, you're now newly under oath again.
Yes.
Would you take us through?
Yeah, we have, even though you've been qualified before, but I just got my eyes crossed that you're going to qualify.
Just for the record, you're a professional engineer of the state of New Jersey, is that correct?
Engineer and planner, yes.
Planner, are both licenses in good standing this evening?
They are.
Does the board want the full version, or, okay?
We've seen him before.
We'd ask that he be qualified under both, we can do that.
He's been qualified before under both, and you're going to qualify him tonight as both a professional engineer and a professional planner qualified to testify in this matter?
That's correct.
Mr. Nusser, if you would, just briefly tell us what was approved before, and then please explain what's changing and why.
Sure, so I have a board. This is sheet, this one I can pick up, you said, Joe?
This will be, it'll pick you up.
Oh, okay, okay. This is sheet 6 from the submitted plans dated March 7, 2023.
That's sheet 6 of the site, of the site plans, correct?
Yes, it's the site plan.
And you said, right, dated March 7, 2023, correct?
Correct. You don't want to mark, correct?
No, because we have it in the file.
Okay. So, as Mr. Zelli explained previously, what was approved was a renovation of the existing, portion of the existing municipal building. It's about a quarter of the overall footprint, the remaining portion being demolished. So the historic portion will remain with a first floor restaurant space and two one-bedroom units on the second floor. In the rear of the site, close to Center Street, there will be a 10-unit apartment building constructed in that location with parking and trash and other facilities for the uses. The municipal parking lot that was discussed is on the south side. There's already generally a parking lot in that area now between the existing municipal building and the church. It actually is going to shift a little bit upwards further north. That gravel has, over the years, migrated itself down onto the church's property, so it's going to be located, so it's on this proposed lot.
Excuse me, sir, just point of interruption. The plans we have in our box account, the ones I'm looking at are 12, 14, 22. Is that what you have, Bill?
You have to go into the supplemental. folder.
Yeah, there was a...
Yeah, there's a supplemental folder.
Let us do something, again, because Denise is out, things got a little squirrely, okay? So there is, the following plans are on file, and they've been on file more than 10 days before, it's just kind of hard to find them up on the box account. So the site plans that are before the board for approval tonight are a set of 14, and they're dated March 7, 2023.
Yep, agreed, and I do see that, so I'm with you, thank you.
Now, when you get to the architectural plan, up, what you'll find in the box is three sheets of architecturals, A1, A2, and A3. The architecturals that are in front of the board tonight, A1, which is dated February 13, 2018, A2, which is also dated February 13, 2018, but A3, it's not the February 13, 2018, it is a June 21, 2019. You will not find that in the box account, but it's in the board file, and Mr. Nusser will be going through that, and he'll explain, because these are the architecturals, A1 and A2 dated February 13, 2018, and A3 dated June 21, 2019. Those were the architecturals that were approved and given final site plan approval by this board via resolution 2020-07 on resolution adopted October 19, 2020. The reason they are back here is because, and you'll hear it again from them, and you'll hear from Mr. Nusser, who will explain that we had a little problem with the title company, and the lot line was wrong. And so once they corrected the lot line, things technically changed. So technically, that's why they're back here for an amended, not initial, an amended preliminary and final site plan and an amended subdivision to account for that change in the lot line. And what that has done is, so obviously they needed new site plans to reflect the lot line. They did not need new architecturals. They're sticking with it. So what the board liked and approved in 2020 and what went through historic preservation review and what went through your special historic architects review, they're not changing that at all. They picked up one or two variances, which one of these two planners will explain because of the change in the lot line. Well, Mr. Barron's is a couple little minor.
Okay, maybe getting it. I tried to make sure I was looking at the plans.
Right.
And thank you for the clarification.
Okay, sorry to jump into that.
I'll just say I agree with that completely, and it was an excellent summation. So having said that, we had perfected the preliminary site plans. Those had been signed. We had perfected the minor subdivision that had been filed. We were waiting on the historic preservation deed to be completed with the state, and that was what was holding up the final signatures on final. If I remember correctly, and Mr. Higgins, you may remember better than me, that the state, it was a COVID thing with the state, and they were just moving slower than normal. And so it took some time to get to that point. We finally reached the point where the township had signed that agreement with the Historic Preservation Office, and we were ready to move forward. As we were moving towards a closing for Mr. Fernandez, and the title company was going through the title work, they went back deeper into the files and found some changes, which had affected the way that the road was vacated. And so where previously, I'm going to flip now to sheet 4, same plan set, where previously Washington Street was being vacated from West Street to Center, and was being vacated further to the north, closer to, that is Closer to Block 50, Lot 29, when the title work came through and the final vacation of the road was completed, which the road has been vacated at this point, the western portion of Washington Street, adjacent to Block 50, Lot 1, that's not vacated, so that will remain, and the vacation of the eastern portion was slightly different, which, again, affected the subdivision, which was, again, filed, so we need to amend that subdivision. When this issue came about, there were some issues with the minimum lot area requirement for the zone that this is in, the FFB, the redevelopment zone, and so the council passed an amended redevelopment plan to adjust for the fact that the western portion of Washington Street was not being vacated anymore, and so to allow for a lower minimum lot area for the project.
Mr. Nelson, let me stop you there. When they amended the redevelopment requirements, they also permitted variances at that point, which had previously not been allowed. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay, so that enables us to do what we're doing this evening in order to seek variances.
That's correct. And so, as everything happens further linearly, there we go, and, you know, it was an issue was found that the termination of solving the last one, it's obviously taken us a little bit of time to get back before you here, but those issues are now resolved. Again, the road's vacated, the preservation deed has been put into effect. So really what we have is a plan that is ready to go. Mr. Fernandez would probably say, about time. I'm sure he's not the only one. Actually, I know he's not, because I've been involved in this long enough to want to say the same thing.
It's been about 8 years.
Yes. And so we have a project now that is ready to go. We just need to amend the approvals based on these changes that have occurred so that we can proceed. Again, and there was corrections in your letters about what...
My suggestion is to let Mr. Behrens take it from here for a little bit.
Yes, that's what I was going to do.
He'll read the corrections, and I believe he actually, which normally doesn't happen, but he's going to actually, not that the board planner doesn't support things, but normally the board planner wouldn't be testifying in support of something. He'd leave it to the applicant planner, but I believe Mr. Behrens wants to.
Did the words right out of my mouth? But I'll acknowledge that the plan being presented is substantially similar to the one that was previously approved by this board and to the concept plan that's in the redevelopment plan. Essentially the same. We just acknowledge that because of some technicalities, the lot lines have to be reconfigured. I think initially we had all, not only envisioned, but anticipated that all of Washington Street would have been vacated. Half of it has been. Part of that reason is that because the westerly portion of the road grants access to the driveway of the single-family home that's there, among other reasons, which we don't need to get into. So I guess just to move this along before I get into just some technical stuff, are there any changes to the site plans that have occurred from the previous plans, other than dimensional setback issues in terms of landscaping?
The parking count's the same, the layout's the same, the landscaping, the lighting, the landscaping, which were previously signed off on by the board's professionals, remains unchanged. I know Jim sent a letter saying that he was good with the landscaping, it hasn't changed. Jason Harkins didn't send a letter because there wasn't a reason to, because it hasn't changed. It is every change that has happened has been a result of the moving of the lines that you can't see.
Is it fair to say that there have been no changes to the site plan in terms of building and improvements, and the only changes have been to lot lines?
Yeah.
And beyond that, just to give you knowledge, there are some historic preservation strings attached, which were conditions of the prior approval, I would just assume that you guys accept those.
Yes.
I mean, from a planning standpoint, again, this mirrors the plan and the concept that was envisioned by the township.
Right, but go through.
Page five of my report has a zoning table, which identifies the extent of variance relief required. I did note that I missed one variance, but I'll go through the list of five variances that I believe are required, C variances. One is the front yard setback of the historic building to West Street, which is 11.5 feet where 15 feet is required. This was a condition of the prior plan that was approved. There's a 9-foot setback of the multifamily building to the northerly side yard, or side lot line. Again, it's 9 feet with 10 feet technically required, and this is part of the whole subdivision reconfiguration that is requiring the need for that. There is a building coverage variance for lot 3.01 because, again, of the reduced lot size or lot area.
And lot 3.01 is the lot that...
It's a commercial lot, we'll call it.
Mixed-use
lot.
Mixed-use lot.
Right. Where the percentage is 26.3%, where a maximum of 25% is permitted. We also have the impervious coverage of the lot 3.02, which is the municipal parking lot, and also which will be paved, is at 78.9%.
I assume the reason that the impervious is that high is because of the parking lot?
It's a dedicated community parking lot, which serves the public good. Where a maximum of 75% is permitted. And finally, again, because of the realignment of the subdivision, the trash enclosure is now in the front yard of Washington Street. Technically, I have no objection to the location. I didn't think that before, but it seems that most of these are just technical matters. And again, the plan as proposed is essentially already approved, just without the lot line adjustment that I discussed. That's all I have for this plan.
Just for the record, the coverage on lot 302 is actually an improvement over the existing, even with the new number.
Okay. So the municipal lot gained a few square feet? That's
a good point.
Well, no, this was the existing overall pre-subdivided number.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, there is an overall reduction in pervious across the entire project.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Because we
right,
were
at sites developed, it's gravel and paved.
Right. And we can certainly, again, that layout hasn't changed. We could certainly comply. It would remove parking spaces, which is not obviously the goal of the project. An overall reduction in impervious, no stormwater impacts from it. I believe that was, it should have been relief that was previously granted. As well, that should be relief that was previously granted as well, because that has not changed. That lot has not changed.
Right.
So.
Wait, is it the stormwater?
No. The impervious on lot.
Right. It was too. Having to redo. Right.
Yes. No, I know you're regranting, right. But it was
to acknowledge that it was already.
Acknowledging that it was done.
Right. In fact, the only new variance that existed that wasn't there last time.
The trash enclosure in the front yard and technically the side lot.
Right.
Front yard.
So those are the new ones, but those, I understand those are due to the fact they all flow down from the street vacation issue.
That's correct. Correct. So thank you for outlining the relief. I don't know if there's any questions about the site, the layout from the board on this before.
Anyone? Not for me.
I was here last time.
You know, is this a good time to just make mention of the fact that I believe the Reformed Church on the corner is going to be coming forward with a parking lot that will abut the public parking lot? Are you aware of that?
That's independent from this application.
I understand that. I just thought I was wondering if that was common knowledge. Particularly with the applicant.
I am aware that they were looking to do that.
Fair enough.
I didn't know where they were in their process. I know that as part of the changes that happened before this point, we had
back over. We didn't previously have a direct connection into the church. They have that ramp that comes down and the little sidewalk, which kind of ended short because, again, the gravel extends a little down. And so we were asked and obliged with an accessible path up to their ramp.
Does that change
because they're putting the parking lot from?
Yeah, it might. I think the intent would be to enter, at least what I understand, to enter our parking lot, the municipal lot, on the far eastern side, eliminating one or two parking spots. So if they haven't communicated to you, I just wanted to be sure that, you know, the channels are open.
Oh, I was not aware that there was going to be a proposed connection between the lots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just, and, you know, it doesn't relate to this particular application, obviously, but it's a good opportunity to just mention it for the record and also make sure that you may be hearing from them. I'm surprised they're not here tonight, in fact. Okay.
So if there's no questions on that, again, from a planning perspective, I think Tom did a good job outlining the relief that's required. Some of this relief is existing nonconformities, the front yard setback of the existing.
Can I run a couple questions by you?
Sure, if you want to do it that way.
So I'm going to go down this list. The minimum front yard setback, which is for the historic building.
Yes.
Based on reading what Tom has to say, I assume that you would agree that you would take the position as a planner that a C2 variance would be warranted to accommodate the historic approvals, since what Tom says is that this is the function of the building's existing location and the required front porch addition in accordance with the historic approval. Would you agree?
Yes.
Picking number two, the maximum impervious coverage.
Chef, I just take to the they're demoing a part of that building. Currently, that building is almost up to the property line. So they're actually making the front yard setback. They're improving the condition.
Yeah. They're also improving the condition. Hold on, let me write that down. Improving the condition as
significant.
I think it's 0.38 feet from the property.
0.38 feet. Which is now. Okay. It's improving to 11.5 feet. 0.3 on Washington Street. Yes, the project. Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm talking about West. He's saying just the project in general. Oh, in general, on West. Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate it. The maximum impervious coverage, proposed lot 302, I'm reading again from Tom's report, will be designated as a public parking lot. Going to have 78.9% impervious coverage, the maximum is 75%, and I assume that your planning argument is going to be the public purpose of providing parking for the community would warrant a C2 variance for this deviation.
Yes, I would agree with that. That would be the argument I would make.
I'm adding a number three, which Tom doesn't have on the list, for C variance for maximum building coverage for lot 3.01. Lot 3.01, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the lot that has both the existing building that's going to be renovated and the new building that's going to be constructed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And those buildings are going to include affordable housing, correct?
They will.
And I assume that one of the arguments you're going to make is that in order to accommodate the affordable housing unit, that warrants a C2 variance to go from 25% max to 26.3% max building coverage. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And the new item four, which was Tom's item three, the side yard setback variance, Tom lays it out in here. Tom says it's assumed that, but I'm going to say, I assume that your position is that this deviation is a result of the Washington Street vacation, and therefore that would warrant a C1 variance.
Yes.
And then lastly, number four, which is now number five, the trash enclosure in the front yard. Again, we already heard Tom say this. This is it used to comply, but this, as a result of the realignment of the lot line, this would warrant a C1 variance. Is that correct?
Yes.
You agree?
Total. Okay.
That's your case?
That's my case.
Comply with everything else, correct?
Certainly will.
Any comments from Larry?
No, I mean, I issued a very small report with a couple of technical things. I don't see that being an issue.
And let's ask the applicant. Larry's suggestions become conditions?
Yes.
I think you asked if no one has any questions, and if any members of the public have questions for either, any of these three witnesses.
Please.
Can you come out, can you move over to that table near the...
Sure, somebody explain this opaque diagram?
Near the board.
Guys, are you getting points?
Can you identify yourself?
I'm Keel Lawrence, I live at 9 West Street, which is directly across.
Okay, can you spell your first and last name?
K-I-R-A-L-A-W-R-A-N-C-E, 9 West.
Okay, so you're going to ask a question of the guy who drew that, and that is Mr. Nusser.
Okay, great. Where's the trash?
Great question.
Okay, so you're going to have to, so Center Street is here.
Here's West.
West Street, running north.
Yep, west.
Okay.
This is Washington.
So the existing municipal building is this, and then it extends further south and then further to the east. So this is kind of the area where the fire...
Dilapidated fire.
Very dangerous.
Yes.
Very difficult to get the truck access.
Well, it's in the same spot.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that, Chris, that's what he's suggesting.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand why we need variance.
So the difference was, we previously had it that all of Washington Street, this whole section here was going to be vacated. So this would have been part of this lot. But now, this portion is going to remain of Washington. And so this is now a public street, or continues to be a public street. And so this is now in a front yard of Washington Street, as opposed to being just contained within a lot.
Okay.
So functionally, it's the same, it's just a matter of technicality.
So Bill lives here, can get to his driveway?
Yes.
Okay.
Which was never something that wasn't going to happen, it's just that...
You're going to put the trash on the south side of the street, about a third of the way down the existing span of Washington?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me, so you're not asking, so the other question I had was with regards to the comments that were made by the township planners, but perhaps you can answer them for me. So the front facade, the dilapidated front facade that faces our house, is going to come down, I understand.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And there's beauty in the historic building that is in the recesses behind that front facade. And actually, the front...
I have it here in the...
Will be further back from the road.
Why don't you ask him to put up the elevation of what the building's going to look like and explain it to you?
Yeah, I think I've seen you before, it's been some time. Vice Chair Higgins knows that you've been at this for a while. Okay, great. So how far back is this?
Hold up, Chris, identify what's up there, please.
So this is A3, dated 6/21/19.
Okay, and this is the A3 that was approved by this board in 2020, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so now explain to the person asking you the questions, what's going to happen to the building, and how it's going to look like this.
So the existing
front of the building is being removed, and it's in, exactly, we'll have this porch, so the porch extends out from the base of the building.
Yeah, this is the south looking north in cross section, so my house is over here.
This is West Street.
The front elevation, is that facing West Street?
Yes, yeah, this is facing west, and then what's the West Street here?
Really, my question is, how far back is this from the road?
This from the road?
Yeah.
It's 11.
West Street?
It's 11 and a half.
The front yard getting bigger.
Well, from the front property line, then you also have the sidewalks.
Part of the reason that this is relief that's being sought is because we are dedicating a portion of the right-of-way of West Street to the county.
Okay.
And actually, so the right-of-way is moving...
There's another reason. It's that it's a historic building, and right now you have the enclosed porch, which, originally looked like that. And so as part of the, I'll say, working with the State Historic Preservation Office, they require that the building be restored to its original condition, which had the open front porch. So that's the intent of the facility.
If that front porch was taken off, you would comply with the front yard setback, is that correct?
I'm not asking.
No, no, I'm asking now. No, no, I understand. What Chris is trying to say is the 11 and a half feet setback is to the property line, and he's trying to take a look and see.
The porch is 10.3 feet.
Really what I'm asking is the current facade, right, there's a thin strip of the road, there's a thin strip of grass, the sidewalks, there's another strip of grass that's planted at the moment, right, and then the building. And I'm asking whether the front of the building will be further away from my house. Yes, okay.
The building, as I remember it, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, over the years, it acquired an enclosed front porch. So that, the enclosed part, well, the building gets pushed back, but I think, does the porch remain in place, but it's now?
The porch right now stays basically where the face of the enclosed porch is.
Right.
Just different aesthetic.
It just gets opened up and.
Right, the gutter on that, the porch roof will be at the same location as the front is now. But this, the enclosure around that front porch will be removed, so the building will appear to be further back.
Right.
It's an open.
It will be open front porch.
There you go.
Yes.
The side will be locked.
Okay, great. I think that's it.
Those lovely roofs will go away too.
I'm curious about lighting, but we're not talking about that, so I'll ask Rob about that later. Thank you.
This would be an appropriate time to talk about lighting, if you had a question for lighting.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about the lighting?
So the lighting's for the parking spaces. They're LEDs, so they cut off.
Okay, what is an LED?
I'm all good. I'm all good.
So they're LED style fixtures. They comply with the town's requirements so that we're not trespassing off onto neighboring property. It keeps the light contained. Because they're LEDs, they're enclosed in the housing, and you know they're downlighting, so you don't have issues with the light pollution. And what was agreed to previously, and what continues on the plan is upon completion.
Right there.
The board of professionals will come out and they'll look at it.
Do a night light test, as you're saying.
And if there's a reason to put a shield in, because there's a glare in some place, that a shield can be added.
Can you tell me roughly where the lighting?
Oh, no, no, that's where they are. Look at the luminance.
There's a lot of data that shows that, yes.
Yeah, but I don't have it big. But they are on this.
Oh, it's plants.
They're here, two, and three.
Yeah, we had it big.
Here.
Okay, so
they're on here though.
Mostly on the south side.
We're showing a G6?
Yeah.
This is the.
Yeah, they're small, but they're on there. And then there's some for the municipal.
Okay, so basically four, two on the north side, two on the south side of the existing.
Yeah, the proposed.
Okay, and you'll do your best to sort of limit any question.
Yeah, there's, okay, so take sheet eight to show. This is the lighting.
No, they're on here. It's okay, I can see them. I think they're on.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris, just on the lighting, I did have a comment, which I'm thinking about lighting as a block a little bit. We address color temperature now, we attempt to.
Okay.
Do you have a sense of what the lights will be with regard to color temperature? We usually try to have a cap of 3,500 Kelvin.
I don't know what we had specified.
If you look at sheet eight, you might find out.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
I think the specs give a range. And so maybe if you just committed to a cap of 3,500, that would suffice.
Yes, I think that's fine, because as I'm looking at it, they look like they're probably 3,000. So the cap of 3,500 would be fine.
The client is all right with that?
Well, it's 3,000 on the plan, so that's
this is the color temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. I gotta look them up and understand what they look like.
You wanna find out if there are any other questions?
Oops, I'm sorry, we were looking at lights.
Can I ask a moment about lighting?
Sure.
Your lighting, I'm just, this way.
Can you go back up there so we can pick up your question?
Sure thing. On Center Street, because I think my neighbors who are, were curious are not here. On Center Street, is there, are there lighting on the front side of either of the facades facing west or center? It's just so.
No, no, there's no lighting.
So only lighting along the parking areas?
Yes, the site lighting is just contained to those spaces. There's access between parking.
I hope it's not a bird.
It's not an animal, right?
Battery. That's what it sounds like. It's an undying noise.
It's a bird.
It was doing this when I walked in the room. This isn't anyone.
We didn't, when we had the fire and the ceiling a couple of years ago, we didn't have chirps first. We had smoke.
All right, well, let's not tarry then. Are there any other questions from any other members of the public? All right, thank you. From the board? No. So it's probably that time, John. No?
So deliberations, you have an application for amended preliminary and final site plan approval and amended minor subdivision approval with those five variances, some of which Chris testified as C1, some of which is C2. And the applicant agreed to a couple of new conditions, but I assume the applicant agrees to all the prior conditions of the prior resolution from 2020.
That's correct.
And the same sort of timing would apply, which obviously it's a new approval, even though it's amended, so you get a fresh set of times on it.
Correct. And just probably should state for the record, just a matter of housekeeping, the subdivision plat has been recorded, so it'll be amended and then the new will be recorded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm happy to make the motion.
Okay, can someone just deliberate and say you may agree for all the reasons
I'll give the basis for what I'm about to say. We have reviewed this a couple of times, and the changes tonight are all about these lot line changes. So I view the changes that was requested is just kind of part and parcel of the lot line changes. So a couple of new variances because of that, something's down the side, or now front that didn't used to be a front. A little bit of, like, we can't make quite the measurements. I think it's substantially, I think, to use Tom, similar to what we've seen, and we've taken a few more conditions, and before we opined there was an improvement to the village, I think it's still an improvement. All this redevelopment plan was adopted 8 years ago?
That's when we started.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fantastic deliberation.
Mm-hmm. That's my view.
And I would agree exactly for the same reasons. The variances are a function of the diminished, you know, lot area, and it's a highly constrained lot. There's not much wiggle room, and there are very few changes, real changes, from the last approval. So this certainly has my support. Anyone else?
I agree.
All right, I have nothing to add. I think that sums it up nicely. And Mr. Drill is always very good about constructing.
So someone's going to make a motion to that effect to grant all the relief subject to those conditions?
I will make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you.
All right, so this would be
Mr. Glazer?
Mr. Versa? Second?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Mr.
Fischer,
first. Right?
Yep, we have to wait for the chairman to ask me to call the roll.
I was just getting ready to do that. Madam, could you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Okay, we have Mr. Glazer.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Higgins.
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans.
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
Mr. Versa.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
I hope our next meeting is out at the construction site.
Yes, thank you, Rob.
During the meeting, he can stay all night and talk, right? Close this down. Mr. We are, we're up to reports. Do you have anything from council, Bill?
Quickly, we only had one council meeting on the 22nd. Normal council business was done. We hired a couple of replacement clerks in the administrative side. One woman left, the other woman left, so we're kind of restaffing. Brian reported we're getting the Parks Forum joining, which should help with our open space, but he joined already. He stopped, so that's good. He's starting. The main business part of the meeting was we introduced the budget for next year. I will not go through my full recap. I'll look at the highlights, just for sake of the audience. The first part was 22 ended with about the fund surplus increased about $2 million, which was great. We were to 2.8 million, which we were happy about. Net debt decreased from 16.3 to 14.3, so good signs in 22. For 23, we think it's a strong budget, covers all the priorities of the township. That's not free. So the headline figures, we're looking at a 5.9% increase in the tax levy, translates to about $894 per month for the average house, about $400,000 or $107 per year. Everything is well within the caps, and interestingly, we're well below the caps because of the higher municipal math done by Trenton. But the things we had to cover in the budget, some significant things, we're collecting the extra $569,000 property taxes, which is a lot, but we had to cover a $238,000 increase in healthcare costs because the state health plan has gone upside down, and there's a 24% increase to the township, but also all the participants of the plan, which is horrific. There's a 16% increase, I think it is, for the pension contribution, a 14% increase in gasoline. We increased our contribution to the South Branch Emergency Squad to help fund an ambulance, so we're up to about $120,000 next year. So we've covered a lot of these increases. Normal contractual increases for police and DPW, all that, of course, has to be covered. But probably the most important thing, the thing I found, I really pushed for in the finance committee, was we did an 18%, $848,000 increase in capital, up from $450,000 last year, so we're trying to really fund our capital reserve to allow us to work on things, and things being roads, I would say. The normal stuff, equipment we need to replace, there's always DPW trucks and other equipment. But it's finally getting the right side of, starting to chip down at our deferred road maintenance. So it's gonna take many, many years, but if we can keep the budget, keep putting in $1 million to $1.5 million a year into capital to spend it on roads, we start to chip away at those things. So we're working on the road priorities at this point. The other important thing I would say, the budget is strong because our surplus remaining will increase to about $1.7 million. So that's the township savings account. That's a start. It was at zero, I think, as recently as 2020. It's gone up incrementally. Our interim administrator tells us this needs to be higher still. We spend about $3 million a month in just expenditures. We should have at least 1 month as sort of the minimum for a township our size. So we're working towards that. Can't get there in 1 year. So not loving a 5.7% increase, but we're covering 5.9%, I should say, covering a lot of stuff in the budget. And I think for next week on council, ordinance work is starting to come through. We'll see some of the work for the planning board coming through, not next week, but in April. Highland stuff is coming forward. All the Route 31 stuff is coming forward. We're doing some things with the rental properties in the township. There's a state law to register properties, rental properties for lead paint, business insurance stuff, just the normal machinations. That's all from council.
The one question, when you were going over the average tax increase, what was that number?
So for a $400,000 home, which is our average, it's $107 a year, about $9 a month.
Okay, I thought I heard the same month there.
That's the municipal section of the taxes, remember? So municipal taxes, that's municipal is only, I think it's 16%.
16%.
16% we're up to. And that, I think it's 16% including open space. I'm not sure the open space is the extra 1%.
$109. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Couple of Starbucks a month.
And Bill kind of touched on the ordinance subcommittee, so there's nothing really new to report there.
No, but we probably should regroup to go through our priorities, because now that we're done.
What's next on the list?
Yeah, there's a long list, so we probably should choose from.
Home business, et cetera, et cetera.
Actually, I do have a question on that. Well, no, I'll save that later, not for the session.
All right. Environmental commission, the rep's not here, and same with historic. The board had committed, or appointed a little subcommittee comprised of Kay Johnson and Michael was the chair, and I was a member, to select an architect. And Mike, why don't you just give the board an idea where we are?
We had discussions about a variety of different architects, and ultimately, I'm going to just pronounce his name, Michael Mahoulis.
Yeah.
Was the name that came up, and I think Ryan knows it, so he had to excuse himself from the discussions. Had a tough time getting in touch with him, but ultimately, we did connect, and he said, he's very busy, but if it's not a big commitment of time, he's willing to give it a shot. And if it's doing this or that, you know, it's what we had thought. So I guess the board has to approve moving forward with him, and I guess it's going to have to be some kind of a contract.
Yeah, we would, I guess, John, for something like this, we would, do we have to vote on getting Denise to begin preparing a contract with Michael? Or
How much, first of all, what's his profession?
An architect. He would be the board architect.
Yeah, so you guys would make a motion to appoint him.
As a professional.
Yeah, the architect or the planning board architectural expert.
Okay.
I assume the board of adjustment will probably follow your lead. That's what they've done in past years. And then the resolution will say subject to entry into a contract. And I believe the township attorney is probably the provider of those contracts.
Right. Now, just a little bit, just a little bit more background. Michael, obviously, he knows Brian, but I'm also familiar with him. He worked on the Watt House over at the middle school and did a lot of good work there.
And he realizes that if he becomes a board architect, he's cannot practice architects or any private clients in Clinton Township, correct?
I don't know.
He did mention that he was involved with the town of Clinton. That's fine, but under the local government ethics law, once you are a local government official, I am an official, any professional you appoint is an official, it's a conflict of interest under the local government ethics law to have any private clients who appear before the boards.
I understand. I'm not sure.
If you have a private client, his work is appearing before the zoning officer and the construction code official.
Yeah, I'm just not sure he was.
So you got to make sure he's aware of that, because that has tripped up
at least
professionals in the past.
Yes.
That's why Mr. Sullivan is no longer here. And Mr. Burgess and Mr. Behrens are here.
Yeah, so let's make sure of that before we make a motion. But, you know, if it does work out, he's done good work in, on that house in a fairly, a historic structure. He did a nice job kind of threading a needle with people that wanted it knocked down and people that wanted it restored. And he also was brought in to represent, he was on the town side with the Ingram, the big Ingram project on Old Route 22 in Clinton. And I understand he was a very effective, I don't know, I want to call him a mediator, but that might be a relatively apt description of his responsibilities. So I understand he did quite a good job there in a fairly difficult meeting. So we'll make sure that he's willing to forego any additional work here in the town.
If we're going to go in, I'd like to see if this is what his qualifications are. Just like we did with Pam.
Also, again, I'm not suggesting that you do one thing or another. You can ask Tom McCaffrey, but in the past, before the boards have hired someone, generally at least the chair or the vice chair or a subcommittee of both boards meet with that person.
Face-to-face interview. See if he can comb his hair and get his fly zipped up.
He must have been in the service.
Yes.
All right. So.
Walking too dumb.
So that was sort of a news item. We'll make sure he's willing and make sure that Kevin is on board, and we'll figure out how to get a meeting together with him. Okay. Well, in that case, it's time for that motion.
I make the motion that we adjourn the meeting.
All those in favor? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
I don't like this chairman business anymore.
I don't like what? I don't like this chairman business.